something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking about some of the fun playoff matchups from a neutral perspective. We'll talk about some impressive rookie seasons from around the league, and I'm sure we'll get into a ton of other amazing stuff. That's dope about the NBA with our guest, comedian, actor, and host of Roy's Job Fair, a hilarious podcast, Roy Wood Jr. I am Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
Nailed it.
And that says a lot. Here comes
O'Brien.
Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What a play, Mike.
Miles Gray. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this new edition of Mad Boosties.
Miles, it's the week. We're in the same week.
Yes,
that we're dropping, baby.
I know.
Mere days before you hear this, we're recording this. So.
Exactly. We try and stay as up to date as possible. But let's get right into the discussion now because we've got a fantastic guest. Like we said up top, Roy Wood Jr. is with us. Hello, Roy.
Yes. I am here. I'm here to talk basketball, the round ball sport.
And I will
tell you tales of why I quit playing organized basketball in the seventh grade.
Oh, what happened?
I was a baseball and soccer guy. Get the hell away from me.
You're playing soccer, Roy?
Yeah, I was a goalie, though. Again, get the hell away from me. Yeah. You're too close to me.
Were you a pitcher in baseball?
No, first base. I wanted to do the least amount of work. If you watch, not here to bring up baseball into your basketball show here.
It's fine. Yeah.
All relevant.
First base, hands down, the laziest position in most professional sports. Right up there with punter. It's beautiful. You don't run anywhere. You don't go anywhere. You just wait for other people to throw you the ball.
Yeah.
Right. And you always have somebody to talk to, usually.
Yeah, you have a friend. Occasionally on a double, you need to tail the runner in case he rounds second too aggressively. But my thing with basketball, I think part of the problem was that I grew up the younger kid. Like, we moved to Birmingham when I was in the fourth grade, but most of the neighborhood was seventh and eighth graders. And that jump, the physicality from a fourth grader to, I knew seventh graders with goatees. So
that's right.
It was just, shout out to Terry Ivey. That's a true statement, by the way. Having only played baseball up until that point and then moving to a new city, it was too much. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go play baseball. And then everybody loved the Bulls. And the more popular the team, the more people wanted to challenge you to try and take your shirt or steal your Bulls jerseys. And you know what? Who's the new team? The Charlotte Hornets. All right, great. No one likes them yet. I'll root for them. They come on TV.
So that's how that came about? Just the fact that they were like not yet a very popular team? Did it have anything to do with the fact that they had the dopest colorway?
Well, you know what? It's to the colorway point, so I did Bomani Jones' show, Game Theory, and we got to talking about this, and part of why I'm a Hornets fan is because they had gang-safe colors. Now, yeah. You can give me Grandmama, Alonzo Mourning, oh, yeah, I love all of that. But also, I could wear this shirt to school
right.
with no problems.
Right, yeah. Right. It wasn't affiliated with anything. You're like, nope. Yeah. My Converse with React Juice? No, just yeah. neutral.
Where you going with that turquoise and purple on?
Yeah.
Like, never.
It's also just a stroke of genius for a new team in the 90s, like coming out of the gate with a purple and like aquamarine combo. Like, I'm not an entomologist. I'm pretty sure that's not what color hornets are, but no. It was the color of the 90s. Like, that yeah. was the color yeah. of the zeitgeist in
with,
that decade.
With the honeycomb lane, I don't think a lot of teams were doing the decorative lane paint.
Mm. Right.
Just yet. I'm not going to say they were the first, but this concept of, hey, you know, the area under the rim doesn't just have to be solid paint, right?
Right, right.
Only razzle dazzle that just a little bit.
Right.
I love
right.
where we are now with the NBA, where the Bucks just have leaves and all types of Oregon-esque looking yeah. designs on their floor.
I also, the thing that the Nets had for a while where their court looked like it was in black and white, and then there would just be these little pops of color that would remind you yeah. you weren't watching a thing in black and white, was really like visually kind of cool, like, and challenging. I can't believe they got away with that, but it was yeah, pretty dope.
The Hornets were my team then, and I got to college though, and they kind of became the team that was like it. Early on in the 80s, you could get a Hornets game now and then. This is something else I have to explain to, like, kids. if you like the team that, like, wasn't in the region, like, you grew up in Birmingham, if you don't like the Hawks, bro, you're not watching any other team until they right. play the Hawks.
Right. Yeah.
There were no Grizzlies. Like, the next closest team, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, I guess. Miami, maybe. Probably the same distance, those right. two. New Orleans yeah. didn't have a team yet. Memphis didn't have a team yet. So it was, you loved your team and you followed them through the newspaper.
Right.
Right.
And Sports Center highlights. Yeah. You know, then you would look up and.
Looking at box scores, you're like, all right, Del Curry, another good one tonight.
Yeah, but see what happened? So when I left for college, and by the time Larry Johnson left for the Knicks and Zoe went to. Did he go straight to Miami or did he? I think he went straight there.
Yeah, the Heat, right?
With like Khalid yeah. Reeves in them, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he made a pit stop before Miami, but I'm pretty sure he went to Miami very much in his prime. The team went through rebuilding. And when you're a small market team and you're going through a rebuild, no one's putting you on television anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so,
right.
you know, so by then, the only way I could really keep up with the players was just by playing NBA Live on Genesis.
Right,
PS1,
right.
Back in those days.
Are you still a Hornets fan?
Yeah, I'm still. That's who I root for.
Yeah.
It's like I go through periods of investment and then periods of, like, I'm not fair weather. I won't say that because I own a Bobcat shirt. Mm. So you can never call
that's
me
all
fair
we need.
Weather.
Yeah, there it is.
I purchased. I went to the website. I call myself supporting black business. I'm like, they got a black owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when they left for New Orleans, that was kind of when I checked out, because I was kind of one of those fans that was like, the ownership betrayed us, even though I'm from Alabama. You betrayed the community of Charlotte. And then when the Bobcats came on, that's when I got back kind of into, all right, I have a team again.
Right.
You know, but I would be lying if I said that some of my habits of just being a fan of the NBA in general, which happened when they moved to New Orleans, I was just like, all right, I'll just watch the league. I'll just be,
right.
you know, I'll just be a wingman. But yeah. now I like actually I'm invested again. And then Melo got drafted and I was like, oh, yes, we are back, baby.
Hmm? Right. Bring me my old Glenn Rice jersey. Let him know that I'm not new to this. I'm true to this.
Yeah.
Is there any favorite moment from that era? You know, the LJ, Zoe, Glenn Rice, all that. I don't know if the dunk contest is, I feel like, a huge thing. I think for me growing up was seeing that and when Larry Johnson was on Family Matters as Grandmama.
Glenn Rice is probably, I'm not, and I have to preface this because I know some Hornet fan is going to scoot up in his seat when I say this. He's probably my favorite Hornet of all time. Not the best, not the highest scoring, blah, 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 blah. But I just, this idea of just him just bombing threes. And you have to remember, to be a three-point specialist at that time was very sniper-esque. Like,
right.
the game was played under the rim. The game was dribble drive. Like, it wasn't kickouts. Like you go on a team now, there's two, three people on the court who could just shoot a three at any given time. But in those days, you had one or two. It was like a relief. It was like the closer. Like, you shoot threes.
Yeah.
So when you see that person check into the game, you know, oh, man, I can't wait to see what this man. And I'm not going to say that three-pointers were as electric then as they are now because people shoot from the logo and half court and all of this ridiculousness. But I don't know. I just always found the three-pointer and people who existed out on the perimeter, you know, to be a marksman.
Right.
I don't know. That was just a skill set I always appreciated.
Our next competitors now are going to be Glenn Rice, making his fourth appearance. Glenn Rice won this competition in 1995, and in the 10 days or so prior to this All-Star weekend break, Glenn Rice has been on fire for the Charlotte Hornets.
The sniper versus the infantryman, you know.
Something specialized.
You're down, you know, Anthony Mason, that's an infantryman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from
the ultimate infantryman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he really thought he was in the army sometimes. But yeah, like Anthony Mason, like he thought he was in the army. Like he shocked. He didn't have a helmet on half the time. But yeah, Glenn Rice, probably my favorite person to wear a Hornets uniform. I'd say my favorite Hornet is Vlade Divac, who I ended up meeting briefly in Birmingham at a rehab hospital.
Wow.
That's a whole lot of words put together. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
I was the guy in the hospital that bring the food trays around to the patients, right? And, you know, Birmingham, and everyone knows Birmingham is history with sports medicine. So I worked at the hospital where players who were getting all of the shoulder surgeries, the Dr. James Andrews stuff, I worked at the hospital where those surgeries were done. So post-op, your meal, I'm your guy.
Right.
So Troy Aikman, Charles Barkley, like anyone who got a severe injury and got sent to Birmingham between like 94, 97, you saw me. I brought you your terrible bland food.
Wow.
Did it have terrible bland food? That was something I was going to ask because I'm assuming these are not people who are used to terrible bland hospital food.
They would barely touch it. They had runners, you know. This is Grubhub, so you just have to send some minion out to go get you TGI Fridays or whatever the hell you really wanted. But it was cool every now and then because you would see just a random athlete walking down the hall in a robe, stretching post-op and doing all this stuff. And Vlade Divac, cool as hell, man. Cool, kind, polite. I mean, you're not, it's one of those atmospheres where you're not supposed to speak to the high profile guest on this floor. How could you not, man? It's Vlade. It's showtime. It's Laker. It's Vlade. And this is pre-Kings Vlade. That's what's so wild about it. This is Kobe trade Vlade.
Right, right, exactly. This is, hey, thanks so much, man. We're trying to get this young man Kobe Bryant, though, so see you over there.
So I do want to just talk about two things with LaMelo, both passing related, but I just want to get your thoughts on, I want to get your thoughts overall on LaMelo, but the way he puts spin on a bounce pass feels like he's just getting started with, like, figuring out, like, weird ways to make the ball just, like, you know, head in one direction and skip up into somebody else's hands like that you didn't even know the ball was headed towards. And then the outlet pass is, I feel like, an art form that is getting better and better the past couple of years. Like, and he might be the best at it with just the touch is like,
he will literally till the last second hold the ball and have three defenders committing. And then through those three, still somehow find the window. And not even like going through legs or anything. Like it's, there's something. Jason Kidd made me excited about watching passes.
Yeah. Right.
Jason Williams, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Peyton and Stockton. You know, Stockton, of course, but Stockton was just more
meat and potatoes.
It felt, yeah, it felt very just, ha-ha, you did not see him over there. I saw him. Passed him the ball. You know.
Right.
A lot of Stockton's success is just owed to Karl Malone and Jeff Hornacek knowing how to finish, which is what LaMelo needs a little bit more. Because if he nails that three from, what was it, last week?
Right.
Which is crazy all over the head and then just kicks it out to the corner. If that shot is landed, then that's like one of his like calling card. Like that's NBA commercial type, right, whatever. I think it's going to be exciting to see him grow. But as is always the case, you know, in Charlotte, you know, and this is coming from, it's just so you understand where my apprehension comes from. I am a Cubs fan and I am also a Dolphins fan. We know what the Dolphins have done the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Cubs did what they did in 16. But since then, have pretty much let every star go for the sake of rebuilding. And, you know, every ownership has a different strategy. But, you know, it's impossible as a fan of a franchise that is traditionally only mildly or non-competitive to have separation anxiety issues when you get a once-in-a-generation player on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I find myself mitigating the excitement about Melo.
Just in case,
right. And I shouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But I do.
Don't be afraid to love, Roy.
Yeah, I loved Kemba Walker, and how'd that work out for me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just need a hug.
Well, here, let's treat our wounds with just a little quick package of some of LaMelo's best passes so far.
Okay.
I mean, that's just beauty for the sake of beauty. That's just
disrespect
art.
Through He's your just, legs.
He went through his leg and then flipped it up for an alley-oop.
He could have just flipped it up.
Right. Could have just flipped it up. But so this one is a underhanded full court pass that lands in like a 3-inch box. Now that's the spin one that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Which is a full court bounce pass.
Yeah, a full court single bounce pass with English on it.
With a lot of English on it that just skips right up into the left hand of the person who's about to dunk it. Yeah, he has that vision where he knows where everyone is on the court and the ability to like drop it into a 3-square-inch space that is going to make it easiest for his teammate to put the ball in the basket.
Okay, and so then to that point, on top of that, it's not just court vision. It's also, oh, I really want to do, I want to pass it here, but this guy's in the way. What can I do to move him?
Right.
And it could be something as slight as dipping the shoulder to insinuate the drive.
Right.
He doesn't even take the first step in that direction. He can make defenders commit and like he can just sell his body in a way that doesn't overcommit his ability to do what he actually wants to do, to like, you know, what his actual intentions are.
Yeah.
In the play. And that's not something you see on a regular basis. And, you know, I'm like every sports fan. You want the good ones to stay with your team forever.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, traditionally, when you talk about the Hornets as a franchise, historically, the Hornets are, man, we had so-and-so.
Mm. Yeah.
It's never, he was our guy, and that was the guy, and, you know, Hornet, like, in the best
and
years.
A statue,
with
right.
The, it's just, man, we used to date him.
right.
You know, you see somebody famous on TV, and you go, man, we had a chance.
Right.
Man, it didn't work out.
Right. Maybe the Giannis thing, it sets the new template, especially if they, you know, do it again this year. Like, people are going to start being like, yeah, you know, maybe we stay where we're at.
I think the league is better off when you have players as electric as Melo playing for franchises that aren't as always regularly discussed.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, honestly, low-key, I'll put the Hawks kind of in that same bucket in a way where they've had players and they've been good. And, you know, Horford and the gang, and like, they've had people. But what Trae Young has brought to that franchise, like, just him, last week they were chanting, screw Trae Young at a Yankees game.
Right, right, yeah, they're still so at hurt.
He has gotten under the skin of a franchise so much incredible. That they hate him at other sporting events.
right.
He's at the game in New York. I shot the video at the Knicks game last month when Trae Young told the fan to hold that L.
Yeah.
And then he darted off and made a play.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows how to just come up to people and just, hey, I'm going to screw with you.
Yeah. Yes.
And it touches an entire city. And that is great. You know, I think it's not fair to compare Atlanta and Charlotte in terms of metropolis and metrics and, you know, all of the gubernatorial statistics. But Atlanta as a franchise, in my opinion, isn't as talked about as it should be considering the size of that city, considering the size of that market. And Trae Young has given them something. I hate the fact that they had to play each other this week.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate the fact that, because those are two teams that you want to see go 7.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
You know, with each other. You know, so my point is, I'm excited about LaMelo. I just hope that we don't lose him to some super team Voltron Transformer situation.
Me too.
That's inevitable, you know.
The point guards who are coming up right now, though, you got LaMelo, you got Trey, and you got Ja. Like, those are the three players that I'm most excited about, because Trey and LaMelo in particular seem to be like doing new things with geometry, and then Ja just seems to have superpowers.
Ja just doesn't respect gravity as a physical, you know, rule, and he's another great example of just a player that electric. He deserves to be revered like that in Memphis. Also love the fact, speaking of the Grizzlies, no one told me this, but I you ever find out like a random fact about a team? And you know what? I approve of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the Grizzlies play Whoop That Trick from Hustle and Flow at their games during timeouts. That's their momentum swing. The opponent is called a timeout.
Right,
yeah.
Like you remember in the 90s, they would play Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Park, too. So instead of that, the Grizzlies play Whoop That Trick a movie set in Memphis. It's not even a real person in that movie.
No.
It's just like, this is our song.
Hey, and it brought him an Oscar. You know what I mean? Like, that film brought an Oscar to the town. So, you know, I get that. I get that.
I get the 3-6 Mafia ties. I understand the Memphis ties, but it's just, it's just, of all the songs you could play, like, I wouldn't have guessed that. I wouldn't have chosen that. And then I'm shocked that the entire arena is just, Whoop That Trick. Get him. Whoop That Trick.
Get
and like there's some 8-year-olds, and I'm like, yes.
They're like, Dad, what's a trick? They're like, oh, don't worry about it,
boy. Just wave your towel around your head.
All right, let's take a break and let's come back and let's talk about the postseason after this.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Let's kind of keep this conversation going because, like you said, it pains you to see Atlanta and Charlotte having to face off when, you know, you'd love to see that be a much longer series. But I think, you know, let's zoom out a bit. Let's don our neutral caps.
Yeah.
Look at this postseason here.
I'm a Sixers fan. I'm not going to talk about the Sixers here. I'm going to talk about a team I'm excited to see make a deep run and why I'd be excited about that. I'm not going to talk about the Grizzlies because we have, I think that's the team we've spent like 50% of the show. So like, yeah. Not just this episode, our entire
show. Yeah.
Yeah. Episode one was all Grizzlies.
The existence.
Yeah. The memes are going to pour in. They're like Matt Boosty's, a Ja Morant podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, because I'm not going to say the Grizzlies either, but I feel like it's been a while since I was watching somebody as like a neutral and got so excited for the way they play and like excited to see them play or excited to see what the highlights were from a game. So from that standpoint, yes, excited for the neutral. So Jack, if you pivot a little more, where are you going?
So I got two runner up. Like, I want to see the Warriors with Klay, Steph, and Jordan Poole, like fully healthy, like splash triplets. I don't know. First of all, I've talked before, but like Klay, when he's locked in, is one of my favorite things to see. Like, it again feels like a supernatural event when Klay is just in the zone. And the other night he had 41 and started looking like he was getting back there. So like, that's kind of that's what the team that I'm like kind of keeping an eye on in the West. And in the East, I'm a Sixers fan, but I want to see the Nets do something.
Beam? Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Play-in Nets?
The play-in Nets. I love KD. Okay. Kyrie, as we've discussed, does things with the basketball. Like, it's just like an and-one mixtape broke out in the middle of an NBA game sometimes. And, you know, I root for Ben Simmons as a former Sixers fan, which I know is not every former Sixers fan does that.
Ben Simmons deserves a second act. So
yeah,
that's fair. I think the Warriors are in the best position to get to the conference finals.
Mm. Against
the 3-seed. Yeah. Like, you have to go through. Well,
are they playing Denver, right?
No. He means in the finals.
I mean, in the final.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, conference finals. I'd say Phoenix.
Yeah.
I'd say Phoenix. I love Memphis, but they're beatable. Golden State could beat them.
Yeah.
They could beat Denver. They could beat Dallas. Like, I think pretty much everybody but Phoenix gives them a hard time. And I do agree with what Draymond said earlier this week. He said, it don't matter if we're the 2-seed or the 3-seed.
Mm.
We win. I know that's what you're supposed to say.
Right.
But I actually believe Draymond is right from a, you know, analytical standpoint, because there's less pressure on them.
Yeah.
And Klay hasn't been pushing himself. They've been limiting his minutes. Like, why? We're not trying to go 73-9.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So relax.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. And if Draymond is like that, that was another just like detail of the season, was watching how important Draymond is. Like, again, I love anything that's not, that goes against the conversations in the offseason, where it's what we were talking about earlier, where it's like, all right, we stack up like this person, this all-star and this all-star and this all-star. When you have somebody like Draymond, who, like, you know, he is an all-star, but he's like not putting up huge numbers, and he goes out and all of a sudden the team's like 30% not as good as they were before, like that. And the Grizzlies are the same thing. It's like, it's not a bunch of people who, like, when you look at a stat sheet, you're like, all right, well, they're beating everyone. Like, it's just they have, like, something intangible about the way the team is put together. So, like, that's what excites me about those two teams. And then at the other end of the, like, polarity, I love KD. I love that he gave Embiid a shout-out for MVP today. I love that he has a great eye for talent. We talked about how he, like, called out Ja before anybody else knew about Ja. So, I don't know. I just think the playoffs in the East are more exciting if the Nets are making a run.
I mean, you're talking about a 9-game differential in wins from the 1-seed down to the 8.
Yeah.
Like, even if you go to the 10th seed, like, just when the playoffs began, it was only a 10-win differential versus almost 20, over 20.
Right.
In the East, 30. 30, because Phoenix had 64 wins going in to San Antonio's 34.
Right.
So when you're talking about a 30-game differential from 1 to 10 versus a 10-game differential, I think that it's harder to pick who is going to come out of the East. I think it's Phoenix or Golden State's to lose. Everybody else is, you're good and you're competitive. Thanks for playing. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
But you could make an argument for Brooklyn, because Brooklyn's going to give whoever they play the business. The 7-seed don't mean nothing when the differential is 10 games. But then Miami is very much just slow and steady.
Yeah.
They just get the job done.
And a lot of people are sleeping on them, so they got that, like, mentality.
Every now and then we take a break, we fight each other. But that's here's the
come
thing.
Back together as a family, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. You don't want to face no team that fight each other.
Because
when they figure out their issues,
which it seems like they've
spirit.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then meanwhile, you're like, production.
Then they
too.
Fight as a family together against the enemy, and that's you.
Yeah.
That ain't what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, they got therapy? Okay, they're a problem now. They're a problem now.
Oh, Lord, they worked out their differences.
They're like, it's a monster. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with all that. I want to see Jokic do well, but I get that, you know, he's up against it. And that's just for me personally, because, like, as a player, I really love to see Jokic. I love his basketball IQ. Again, talking about, like, LaMelo and just the way his body shape can pull defenders, Jokic has that same energy to it that I really just love. It's just so efficient where it's like, I don't need to do too much, the huge movement. I can just orient my body a little bit that way and then completely just dislocate my shoulder throwing a pass you've never seen.
I love Luka. Like, Luka's fun to watch, and Luka doesn't back down, and he's ice cold in the playoffs. But you're asking me to pick against Clay, Steph, Draymond, and whichever fourth wheel new iteration of Iguodala they have coming off the bench.
Right.
Going, oh, you're good tonight? Cool. Thanks for the double-double, Wiseman. Wouldn't expecting that.
Yeah. Right.
You're asking to pick against that?
That's hard. It's hard.
Exactly. And the Warriors haven't been full strength for a long time in the playoffs.
People who like do the numbers and like pay attention to the numbers and all that, you know, your Zach's Low and those sort of people, like the way they talk about Phoenix is like they are real, like head and shoulders above the rest of the West. But I don't know. We'll see. But like, this is the most fun playoffs I can remember in a while. I will say, I think I said that about last playoffs and most playoffs I say that about. So I think I just get excited about the playoffs. But I don't know, like the fact that the East is more wide open than I feel like it's ever been is pretty wild. Like, we haven't even mentioned Milwaukee, the defending champs, who are probably a lot of people's pick.
A three seed.
Yeah.
The defending champs. Which, ooh, okay, so then here's a question. Milwaukee's at a three, and Phoenix, the defending conference champions in the West, they're a one seed, and they're eight games up on Memphis. So that is pretty dominating.
You know,
I don't have their record from last year in front of me, but if they've taken care of business like this once again in the Western Conference, It's them versus Golden State. And it's just a matter of just who can just muscle that out. But I think if Phoenix gets back to the NBA Finals, I don't think they lose. You know, this is coming from a Hornets fan. So, you know, this is also coming from a man who paid money for a Charlotte Bobcat shirt with confidence. You know, I don't know how much you're going to trust my knowledge on this, but it would be nice to see Chris Paul get a ring.
It would. Yeah. And I mean, what he's done this season feels like one of the more impressive things. Like, he's maybe more in the Stockton mold in the sense that, like, he is not like inventing new passes, but he's so good. He's so good. And like, it's subtle things he does that, like, when I'm watching Melo throw a pass, my, like, it's tricking the TV camera and it's tricking like my eye. With Chris Paul, I feel like he's like, all I need to do is trick the person who's guarding me and like get them to move a half inch in the right direction, and then
I feel like the difference
good.
To some degree also with Melo and Paul is that because Chris Paul has been in the league longer, he's defended differently. And I think that there's a lot of defenders' instincts is the moment Chris Paul gets the ball, you have to close the distance. Where LaMelo, they still kind of arrogantly give him the cushion because they think he's dumb. He's still running circles around them. But the moment Chris Paul gets a touch, somebody's got to get on him. And the moment you do, he's first step past you, or he's just around you with a no look. So he doesn't have to go under the leg, over the elbow pass, white chocolate. Chris Paul's never going to go full white chocolate in the passing game. But he also doesn't have to.
Yeah.
All right, Rake, we'll come back. We'll talk about the dopest thing you've ever seen somebody do on a basketball court and one of the funniest mic'd ups we've seen in a while.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Roy, this is the part of the show where we like to ask our guest what is either the craziest, the funniest, like just a thing you saw someone do on a basketball court that is seared in your memory that changed what you thought was possible for human beings to do in physical space.
For the sport.
I've been to a couple of Kobe Bryant 40-point games. You know, that's just more slow and steady, tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you the funniest and most entertaining thing I witnessed was a charity celebrity basketball game where Eric Bledsoe, Boogie Cousins, I think Gerald Wallace was there. It was NBA players with basketball ties to the state of Alabama, right?
Mm.
The radio station I was working with at the time, we do a charity tournament, you know, raising money for the toys or what, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the benevolent thing was. And mm-hmm. we invite out all of these huge athletes and a bunch of Alabama, like Mark Ingram is there, football. Just if you're good with a ball from the state of Alabama, come play this basketball game to raise the money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, I don't know if you ever watched a professional athlete play an exhibition game,
yeah.
but they can't.
Right. Right. They know one speed.
They can't. They don't know how. They only know destroy. Must destroy. So on one team, it's Eric Bledsoe, Boogie Cousins, Gerald Wallace. I want to say like some random receiver from Alabama, whoever, whatever Alabama receiver won a championship in 02 or 03. And these athletes, we're playing like a couple of cops, just like a teacher, like local politicians. Like it's like real athletes versus local celebrity. Like it's.
Yeah. People are like, good.
This is for charity, for the dog.
Yeah.
Right.
Boogie Cousins throws Eric Bledsoe a half-court alley-oop to start the game. And it's one of the most disrespectful things. And, like, have you ever played, like, the only thing I can compare it to is as an adult. You as an adult person playing against seven-year-olds.
Yep.
On an 8-foot rim.
Yeah, yep. Miles does that all the time.
That's the kids right now outside my window. They don't want it with me.
And it's just not fair.
Right.
Just not fair. And because I was on the court playing and getting dunked on, when you see NBA speed up close, that was the first time I'd ever seen, like, just literally just checking Boogie Cousins. When you see it up close, it's like, oh, I see why you got drafted.
Right.
They threw, Eric Bledsoe must have dunked 10 times. Boogie must have dunked 15. And it was just a dunk fest on state and city officials while raising money for a great cause. It's one of the best celebrity games I've ever been a part of. But Eric Bledsoe and Boogie Cousins literally just threw alley-oops to each other. Like, you could tell they missed each other, hadn't got to hang.
Right.
And it was just them playing with each other, and we were just around.
Right, yeah. You were just sort of in the way of the dunks.
When you see athletics on TV, when you see it up close, I'm like, oh, my God. He jumped all the way. This is just insulting.
Right,
I must
right,
quit
right.
now. But you can't.
Right.
Because you just leave for basketball. The kids. So you're just getting dunked on for the sake of raising money for children. And now I'm the one that needs therapy. So now you need to have another game.
Right.
To raise money for me.
For real.
That was probably the most amazing thing I've just seen just in person in terms of just playing basketball.
Because there's something to like when you're like, oh, I can get this ball up the court. Like, watch me really, like, watch me show you the speed with the ball until someone who has like 3 extra feet of leg length on you and, you know, infinite more skill. And you're like, these are not movements, speeds, or intensities I have ever actually witnessed in my lifetime up close like this.
I have no idea what I'm doing out there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just running up and down the court, and I'm having flashbacks of getting dunked on by 7th graders with goatees. Like, it was just all coming back to me on the court at that moment. It was so bad.
Like, I've seen one NBA game, like, real up close. Like, I got courtside seats for one NBA game. I always tell people, like, that is something everybody should do once in their life. Like, if you can at all do it, it's...
Absolutely.
It's because you don't understand. Until you see it up close, you don't understand how fast, how athletic, how big they are. And there's a trick that your mind plays where you're like, but those hoops aren't actually 10 feet. and then you see it. And then watching that happen at a charity game around other mortal humans is like watching a magic trick, but then having it done to you is no fun.
Imagine watching two NBA first round picks for an hour dunking on city officials and school teachers.
And
radio DJs. Like, it was just, it wasn't even close. They had to switch teams at halftime. Like, you can't even play with each other. Like,
right.
Yeah. Just wheeling people out off the court.
Yeah. I'd say NBA up close, that's one that you want to see in 3D up close if you can. There's definitely a different level of appreciation.
All right. Let's go out. We have this mic'd up that I think breaks new ground in mic'd up, in the sense that it is exactly what I would have done if I were mic'd up, and I've never seen a player do it. This is Willie Hernan Gomez. And yeah, it's just fun. He's just having fun with it.
Right. The clip just starts off with him letting it be known that, guess who's mic'd up today? And that's all I would ever want to say to somebody.
I'm mic'd up today. I'm mic'd up today.
I'm mic'd up today. I'm mic'd up. We're all shouting into his chest. Yeah.
Can you dunk?
Yes, I can.
You will see. I can.
Yeah. Let her know that.
That's the goal. I want him to play. You know what I mean? If we're playing against each other today, don't call any foul.
No foul. You guys do whatever you want.
Okay, thank you.
Just let me know.
You know
what? He fouled me. And you go, he fouled me. Okay, yeah. I'll go, okay.
Yes, okay.
I
gotta go.
I gotta be super honest. Talk to me. Talk to me, guys. I got Chumia.
Come on, baby. I need you low, man. Okay, now. For the blitz. I need you to be the low, man.
I'm low.
I trust you, be there.
Huh?
I trust you. My low, man.
That's my fault.
It's okay. Let's
go. Yeah. I have a question about this. Do you think that the players who are mic'd up try a little harder during the game?
Oh, yeah. And
you got to,
maybe
right?
They should just mic all the players, but not tell them which
not
mic
tell the, yeah, oh, is the going. Hat,
right. Right.
But I like, you definitely, like, they probably also are like, hey, I'm mic'd up, like, before. But he's just telling,
hey, man,
everyone.
Just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's, don't talk about anything you don't want on the microphone.
He's running around with a smile on his face, running up to all his teammates and his brother, who's on the other team, pointing to his chest and saying, I'm mic'd up tonight. I'm mic'd up tonight.
Me. It's me.
Yeah, it's me. I'm mic'd up tonight. And then his friends are like shouting at his chest and like popping him on the chest. And then there's a great exchange where him and his brother are telling Bill Kennedy before the game, the referee Bill Kennedy, that they're playing each other tonight and they're brothers, so don't call any fouls on them. And he's like, yeah, no. I'm going to let everything go. You guys just, you know, beat each other up as much as you want.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I want someone mic'd up just to kind of reveal the real and honest side. They're like, whew, really got me on that one. Like, just the whole package is, oh, I'm late. I'm like, oh, that's you. Oh, man, I'm sorry. That's me.
That is super producer Jabari's assignment for what one of our upcoming shows, the moments of people just really like owning it on a mic'd up moment. Be like, nah,
mic'd up and just getting dunked on.
Right. And somebody's,
I'm off
like,
tonight. I'm off. No. Don't throw it to me. I'm off.
Nah,
ice cold. All right. Last question for you. Speaking of super producer Jabari, he went back and looked at the Alabama football roster from around 2010. Was Julio Jones the receiver
there
that
you
was
go
playing? It was Julio Jones.
There it is. Wow.
I have seen videos of him doing things on a
basketball
court. Julio
can actually hoop, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you're good at football, you can do something else well, generally speaking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think I've seen him do something like really.
They've won so many championships. I couldn't even remember which receiver. I was like, you know,
any of them.
Championship years. One of them.
All right. Roy Wood Jr. Truly a pleasure to have you on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
Yeah, man.
By being on, you have co-signed the fact that we do have Mad Boosties.
We can grab net at minimum.
I can grab net or touch net.
If I can grow my middle fingernail really long, I can scrape rim.
So, no big deal.
I think I could still get the net.
Okay. See?
I think. I haven't tried.
That's all.
I'm not gonna,
that's all we need.
I'm 43. I'm not going to blow out.
Just jump up and both of your leg bones are still on the ground.
No, this is a pleasure.
Thank you, this was so fun. Yeah, thanks for being on. And go Hornets, man. Let's see what they do.
Indeed. Melo, if you hear this, please never leave. Sign a tweet.
All right, that's been episode 3. And we will be back next week with more Miles and Jack got mad boosties. We did it. Yay.
See? Nailed it.
something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.